It's definitely an honor for us to be here with you this evening, to Dr. Winston and Dr. Veronica. God bless you so much, amen. Thank you for the consecutive faithfulness in hosting this conference. It does change the lives of countless thousands and hundreds of thousands of people around the world. And to the very astute leadership that supports in so many ways Dr. Winston and the vision of this house, we thank you for your continual, unwavering support. You are truly exemplary of what a kingdom house should be. And of course, to all those that serve, what a tremendous job you do. And I particularly want to say a big thank you to Uncle Reuben, who has always been so faithful. And I thank God for him, amen. And also we greet Dr. Winston's family. You guys are a wonderful example of kingdom kids. Amen. And there's so much more we can say. It's a really overwhelming evening for me. I got up praying for the United States this morning. It's a difficult day for many people. And got up praying for the United States and praying for many of you that are going to be here. We thank God that you are. And we say collectively, God bless America. God bless this great nation. I'm going to preach to you on the subject this evening from the series Measuring the Kingdom. I'm going to preach to you on the subject, the Golden Age. The Golden Age. And I'd like you to read a scripture with me, and there's many we will refer to, from the book of Luke, chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. I want to thank Dr. Winston for coming to Zimbabwe. It was a phenomenal night. It was totally phenomenal. And the team that came with him, King David, was there. And of course, Dolores and Mark, and what a blessing they really were. Verse 3. There was a widow in that city, came to the judge and said, avenge me of mine adversary. He would not for a while, but afterwards said within himself, though I do not fear God and I do not regard man, but because this woman will trouble me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wears me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. He will not avenge this woman because he fears God, but because of her importunity. Her importunity. I want to read now the last verse and put some emphasis on that. I tell you, prophetic, that he will not avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith on the earth? Father, we pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. 55 minutes. Was Donald Lawrence and his team were totally overwhelming. God bless you, sir, and all you do. In Mark chapter number 4, verse 30-32, he said, where shall I liken the kingdom of God? So the kingdom of God can be likened to, and with what comparison shall we compare it? So he's going to liken it, and he's going to compare it. It is like, this is how it's likened, as a grain of mustard seed, which in other scriptures is unequivocally aligned to the principle of faith. So the kingdom of God and faith work in synonymous tracks. It is like a mustard seed sown very small in the earth, not just the earth outside, but your flesh, which is earth, sown in the earth. When given time, it then is compared to a big tree, a megadendron, which when it grows up is greater than all of the trees in its class. But what it does is it shoots great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under it. It takes time for this kind of experience to develop. From the time the seed is sown to the time that the seed is grown, takes time. It takes time. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 13, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 13, it says, we will not boast of things outside of our measure. So when the seed is beginning to grow, it is in a season that is in a slow process. But as time goes on, it's going to measure into something greater. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not going to boast of stuff outside of my measure, but according to the measure of rule that God has given or distributed unto us. And he says, this measure that's in my life will reach even you. Verse 14, for we do not stretch ourselves beyond our measure. We stretch, but not beyond our measure. We stretch, but not beyond our measure, as though we had not reached unto you. And verse 15 says, not boasting of things outside of our measure, that is, out of other men's labors, but having hope that when your faith is increased, when your faith is increased, then we shall be enlarged. It's a life principle. When your faith is increased, the pulpit is enlarged. When the faith of a nation is increased, its government is enlarged. When the faith of a university faculty is increased, the professors are enlarged. When the faith of your children increase, the parents are enlarged. So it is then compulsory for you to increase your faith so that the leadership can be enlarged. This is also true concerning what God will do for you. When you are enlarged by your faith increasing, it then gives God a greater ability to perform outside of what would be your particular range. Everyone say increase.
Increase.
Please say increase.
Increase.
Now, as we begin to increase in our faith, as we begin to demonstrate what God is able to do, because he will do all things, but our faith must increase. There has to be an enlargement within our lives as our faith increases and we go from faith to faith, from level to level. This is all done within the confines of increasing and developing the kingdom of God. So let's talk a little bit about kingdoms. Let's talk a little bit about kingdoms and then preach to you on how faith is released in this kingdom. In Matthew chapter number 12 and verse 25, Jesus is going to give an extraordinary insight into kingdoms. Jesus knew their thoughts. This is after he heals a man that is bound with devils. And the critics around him say that Jesus has cast out devils by the prince of devils. And the scripture says in verse 25, he knew their thoughts and said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, Jesus makes this extraordinary statement and confession. If Satan casts out Satan, how then will his kingdom stand? So he makes an acknowledgement and a confession that Satan has a kingdom. That shocked me. That he's just not a renegade devil running around ransacking the place. He literally has a kingdom. And in his kingdom, he does not tolerate division. Yet, the main mandate of his kingdom is division. He doesn't tolerate division because he's highly regimented and skillful in the way he does things. Yet, their main mandate is division. He'll cause you as an individual to be divided within yourself. A family to be divided amongst itself. A church to be divided. A business, a nation, a tribe. The scripture is very clear in chapter number 11 of Genesis that when people are united in one, there's nothing that can be impossible. So the first area of us uniting has to come within yourself. You have to be united to yourself. You have to be totally aligned in unity in body, soul, and spirit. You can't get your head tell you something and your spirit tell you another thing. We have to be one as an individual. How are you going to run a family if you can't run yourself? So all those voices talking in your head, you have to go and perform a personal exorcism. Get some oil and cast it all out. So the kingdom of Satan then is a reality. It's a very orchestrated kingdom. Now we go to chapter number, leave me alone. Let's go to chapter number 4 of the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 4. In Luke chapter number 4, we have in verse number 5 and 6, the devil takes him into a high mountain. Takes him, that fascinates me, takes him into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in the moment of time. So here now you have the kingdoms of the world. We saw in Matthew 12, we have the kingdom of Satan. Now we have the kingdoms, plural, of the world. Satan's kingdom is one. The kingdoms of the world is plural, kingdoms of the world. And he showed Jesus these kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you. So the kingdom of the world, kingdoms of the world, function in a degree of power. And they have a certain degree of glory. And he says, I will give them, all the kingdoms, I will give them to you. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now, Jesus doesn't correct that fact. He doesn't correct that and say that's misappropriation or misrepresentation. By him not correcting it means that, yes, they are the kingdoms of the world. They do function with power. They have a certain degree of glory. And that Satan has the ability to hand it to whomsoever he wills. So you have the kingdom of Satan that Jesus acknowledged. Now you have the kingdoms of the world that Jesus didn't refute exist. We now go to the book of Daniel, chapter number 4. In Daniel chapter number 4, verse 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and by the demand of the word of the holy ones. So watchers and holy ones are classifications of angels. So these angels have the ability to decree, the watchers decree, and holy ones make demands. Now watch what they're going to decree and demand. To the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. So now you have the kingdom of Satan. Number 2, you have the kingdoms of the world. And now number 3, you have the kingdom of men. The kingdom of men. And the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Watch, and gives it to whomsoever he will, and sets up over it the basis of men. The kingdoms of this world, which is number 2, Satan has the power to give that to whomsoever he wills. The kingdom of men, God has the power to give that to whomsoever he will. Holy Ghost, you got to help me here tonight. And then we have Daniel chapter number 4 and verse 3. Daniel 4 verse 3. Please be patient with me as I work this out just a little. I got to work my case. Daniel 4 verse 3. This is Nebuchadnezzar making a statement. How great are his signs? How mighty are his wonders? His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Everyone say everlasting. Everlasting. Not lasting, say lasting. Lasting. Everlasting kingdom. Everlasting. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And his dominion is from generation to generation. So the fourth kingdom in the scripture, the fourth one is the kingdom of God. By review, number 1, the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of Satan, no division in it, regimented. Number 2, the kingdoms of the world. The kingdoms of the world enjoy 7 different dimensions. The first in the kingdoms of the world is the sovereign kingdom. And then you have the angelic kingdom. Then you have the planetary kingdom. Number four, you have the kingdoms in which men function and live in. You then have the kingdoms that refer to the power of vegetation, then the animal kingdom, and finally the mineral kingdom. Seven distinct kingdoms that function in the kingdoms of the world. In the kingdom of men, which we are a part of, they come with ranks and files. Every man was made equal, but some people are more equal than others. And finally, the kingdom of God. Now watch how this all begins to outlay in our lives. As we begin to work with the kingdoms of the kingdom of God, there has to be an interweaving and a connection with these kingdoms. The way these kingdoms begin to interrelate is through the power and the anointing of faith. Faith becomes the driving force that gives us access. It is by the faith that God has placed in our spirit to believe that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Because most times we don't know what to ask, and many times we don't have the ability to think because we're limited in our exposure. There are things above our head that we don't know about, things above our head that have never been explained, things above our head that are beyond our range. There are times when in our lives we know we have to do a thing, but because of our limited capacity and ability, we don't have the anointing to go beyond our range. But God will put something in our spirit, will give us an understanding that there's something that I know is out there. I can touch it. I can taste it. I can't see it. I don't have access to it. But faith kicks in. And you start seeing and you start pushing for things outside of your range. In this service and in this week, most of us are going to outperform our range. We are going to live outside of our natural rank. We are going to go beyond our personal and physical ability. We are going to go and operate outside of our talent range. Because when we begin to access faith corporately, you might be a person here that's on a stretcher. Paralyzed, but with corporate faith, four people standing next to you are going to lift you not through a doorway, but bring you onto a rooftop and tear something that all of eternity has been waiting to pour on your life. So in these meetings, starting from today, going all the way this week, God is going to literally lift people and put you on a superhighway where there will be no physical traffic lights. There will be no toll roads where the devil's going to tax everything you do. You'll be on a superhighway. And you are going to have access to things that you always knew you would. Kingdoms that are there that you don't know what kind of power they have. God's going to release stuff in your life that will not be, cannot be explained because eye hasn't seen it. People in your circle haven't seen it, haven't witnessed it, haven't experienced it, but God is bringing you beyond your range. Now put your hands on your head and say, faith is growing in me to function outside of my range. Let's put our hands together. I need a breath. By review, the kingdom of Satan, it functions in a very regimented way. We see hints of this throughout the scripture. Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. We see some of the way it operates in the book of Daniel, chapter number 9 and chapter number 10, with various princes and principalities. In the kingdoms of the world, we see various hints of different setups, the way these kingdoms function in what now has become very popular common teaching in terms of the seven mountains. In the kingdoms of men, there are 12 basic kingdoms of men that formulate in clusters. Let me spend about 4 minutes on the kingdoms of men. They are in 12 basic clusters. The first one is the kingdom of hunter-gatherers. Hunter-gatherers. These are individuals that have the ability to seek things that are outside of their natural domain. The second kingdom in the kingdom of men are farmers. These have the ability to put seed in the ground and produce mass crops, not just physical, but in all kinds of entities in the cluster, to feed, to clothe, and to develop people around the world outside of their range. Number four, these are builders, the kingdom of builders, individuals that are able to build things that have never been seen before. Nebuchadnezzar was a master builder. And then number four, the kingdom of miners. These are individuals that are able to excavate the earth and find mineral wealth and convert it into bullion. Kingdom number five, these are smelters, people that can take raw material and shape them into anything that you can see here. They can take wood and make a piano. They can take petroleum products and produce a range of products. They can take a peanut and produce 300 different things. This is within the kingdom of smelters. Number six, educators. These are highly skilled, learned people that by the anointing and the blessing of God work through revelation gifts and can take a truth and expound it in very palatable manners. Kingdom number eight, these are entertainers, people that have been endowed with great qualities to be able to translate in crafts, in aesthetics, in beauty, to various ranges of individuals. Kingdom number nine, these are political rulers that create warriors and fighters to defend, to protect, to maraud, to take ground. Kingdom number 10, financiers and traders. This is the kingdom of merchants that God has endowed many around the world to move the kinds of revenues that are mind-blowing. I'm telling you, some of the things we're seeing on the continent of Africa are mind-blowing. In the last few weeks, I've been part of a program dedicating churches. And every church that we've been dedicating, as my role of the chairman of African Apostles, every church we've been dedicating is way too small. Many of these churches are 12,000, 15,000, 20,000 seaters, and they're way too small. But the amazing thing about these churches are built debt-free, and money's coming in mountains. The kinds of offerings we take in Zimbabwe, which has had the most difficult economy in the history of humanity, our offering is taken in buckets. And we do US dollars now. We don't take little cute bags, we take buckets. Some of you just looking at me. Number 10, number 11, the kingdom of transporters. And the last one, the kingdom of inventors and innovators. Now I'm going somewhere with this because there is a range of things that we have to access by faith. Every person in this room has been touched by one of those kingdoms. Inside of you is something that God has placed from before the world ever began. And because of who you are and where you are at this time for this season for a specific reason. Now, when these kingdoms begin to come into fulfillment, there has to be time and gift. Time and gift. So let's talk about time and gift. I'm nearly there. In time and gift, there's four things I want to mention to you quickly without being too mundane. In time and gift, you have four classes of people. That's too many numbers. Four classes of people. We have the wrong people doing the wrong things. The wrong people doing the wrong things. That will not be you. Number two, you have the wrong people doing the right things. Like Hagar. She's the wrong person. She's doing the right thing. Sarah wasn't doing that. Sarah was the right person, but she was doing the wrong thing. But what's emerging around the world now is the right people doing the right thing. And we're seeing it sporadically around the world because for too many generations we had the wrong people possessing power, the wrong people possessing finance, the wrong people possessing political will. That season is coming to a rapid end. We've had the wrong people doing the right things. They're the wrong people. They don't have an anointing. They don't have a kingdom agenda. But they're doing the right things. They're creating jobs. They're creating manufacturing. They're creating opportunities. But they're the wrong people because they're channeling their finances into other agendas that don't facilitate the kingdom of God. Then we've got the right people. They're the right people, but they keep on doing the wrong thing. Oh, but now in this season, in the kingdom of men, in the kingdom of God. Finally, we have come to a time in our lives where faith is coming. Will he find faith on the earth? Yes, because the right people doing the right things are emerging all over the world, on every continent. The most obscure people, the basest of men, are being raised in the kingdom of God. He's raising men. The person next to you is an amazing person. The reason they haven't emerged yet is because their time hasn't come. Let's go to Acts chapter number 1, verse 6. Acts chapter number 1, verse 6. In Acts chapter number 1, verse 6, the disciples asked Jesus a very important question. Will you restore the kingdom to Israel? Not of Israel, to Israel at this time. And Jesus makes the statement. He says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. So times and seasons have been put in God's power. So he's not going to restore the kingdom to Israel now. He's going to restore the kingdom in the future. So the kingdom is going to be thrown at some point in the future. The disciples were being taught for many infallible truths concerning the kingdom for 40 days and nights. They were being bombarded with truth. They were being hit with kingdom principles for 40 days and nights after Jesus' resurrection. So much so that they said, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Jesus takes that thought and he throws it in the future. He says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons that God has put in his own power. In other words, that's coming. It's not now. It's not for you to know it, but it's coming. I'm throwing it way there. Your responsibility is to be the seed. We're planting you in Jerusalem. That power of the kingdom, I'm throwing it in the future somewhere. Let's go now and read Daniel chapter number 2, verse 36. Please bear with me. I'm behaving like a young man. I'm being impatient with myself. In Daniel chapter number 2, verse 36, Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream. And in this dream, after Daniel and his colleagues fast and pray, Daniel comes and says in Daniel 2, verse 36, this is the dream, O Nebuchadnezzar, and I will tell you the interpretation of this dream. The dream that Nebuchadnezzar had was an image that had gold, silver, brass, iron, and clay. Now, what's the interpretation? The interpretation of this dream, he says, the interpretation of this dream is, you, O king, you are a king of kings. So what Daniel is interpreting here is interpreting two things. He's interpreting, number one, an order. Everyone say an order. But he's also interpreting a time span. He's interpreting an order and time. He says, you are the king of kings, which is an order. And he says, the kingdom of gold that you saw is a time, because the kingdom of Babylon was for a certain time. So Daniel reveals God order and a time. It's an order and a time. Say that.
Order.
Say that again.
Order.
Now, there are certain things that even if you have faith for it, cannot come into being because it's not its time. For example, when Adam sinned against God, that's the day he needed a savior, but he could not have a savior. Galatians says in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time came, please help me, Lord, please help me. Please help me. So Daniel is revealing an order, King of Kings, and a time. He says, you, number one, are the golden kingdom. And then you know the silver, the brass, the iron, and the clay. Now watch what he shows him. He's going to show him five different orders and five different time spans. The first one is the golden order, the golden age. These are golden kingdoms. The Babylonians ruled by decree. Nebuchadnezzar ruled by decree. He ruled by authoritative power. When he said it, it was law. When he declared it, it was so. Could not be refuted. It was irrevocable. Could not be changed. He was law. It's a golden order, but it was also issued in a time. And then you have the next order, silver orders. You know, if you travel, you have different levels of frequent flyer deals. It's an order. It's the way human beings live. It's an order. It's an order. We live by it every day, but it doesn't register in our hand that we are living in certain orders. It's an order. So God's preference is the golden order. It's a golden age. Then there's the silver order, the silver age. These are the Medes and the Persians. Then you have the brass order, the Greeks. These are synthetic thinkers. They brought to the world philosophy, which is proving nothing because of metaphysics. And then you have the brass or the iron order, which was the Romans, which is brute force and muscle to police a thing. And then clay and iron, which is simply the lowest order in which man lives, which is clay, appetite driven, sense driven. There's no faith in that. See, it doesn't take faith to be a father. You just need to find a mate. Please don't let me explain. There's certain things you don't need faith for. There's just, you don't need faith to eat. You don't need faith to dress, etc. This is the lowest order, which is appetite driven. The highest order is the golden order. Now watch. Let me start putting it together. Start putting it together. What God is saying here, that there is a kingdom that's coming, marks that it's planted by a seed, but grows up into a tree that puts out branches around the world. It's going to supersede every system, every kingdom, so that the birds of the air lodge under it. We're coming into a season where the faith of the people has caused enlargement of the congregation. On the continent of Africa, there are over 300 million Africans that are spirit-filled. And 65% of them are under the age of 30 years of age. So now we're moving towards a time and an order. I don't know, in Zimbabwe, the country I live in, there's said to be 90% unemployment, 90% unemployment. But in all the years I've been there, I have not met a person that is unemployed, because everybody's doing something. People are trading, they're selling on the street, they're putting their kids through school. So the definition of unemployment is being addressed in social circles, because unemployment doesn't mean what they said it means. Everybody's doing something. I haven't met a Zimbabwean that has debt. There's no debt in Africa. We don't owe anybody anything. Everything is paid for. Every car is paid for. Every house is paid for. Every television is paid for. If a person doesn't have a television, it means they've got no money. If it's a television, it means it's paid for. So what is God doing? He's rolling us towards an age. He's rolling us towards a time. He's rolling us towards an order. The devil is a liar. I will not be in debt. I will not be a slave to any person for any reason at any time. Oh! So what Nebuchadnezzar saw and what Jesus threw in the future is God's order. This golden order comes in a time span. I really believe that in 2012, in the next 10 years, we are going to see an order in the earth emerge that the devil has been most terrified of. We are about to see what I call the golden age. A time when nothing is impossible. A time when it comes out of your mouth, you will see it build in your very eyes. There's never been a time like this one. It's a golden age. What you touch will turn to gold. Who you touch will be elevated and turned to gold. There's never been a season, come on, Holy Ghost. There's never been a season like the one we are entering into, where God is putting and endowing people with great grace, great wealth, great strength, great character like this one. What was illegal 10 years ago, God shifting it, is now legal. Where you couldn't go a year ago, you'll do it on a superhighway in a short space of time. In other words, our faith now is not in performing what we can do, but our faith now is trusting in what God has promised. He promised the time was coming. He promised a season was coming. So you just have to be at the right place at the right time. If I can preach for 15 more minutes now and try tying this thing up. This is the generation that's entering the golden age. What Nebuchadnezzar saw but didn't have the character for it, we are now entering into that. We are crossing a threshold where the church of the living God is going to rise up in such a significant way. We will pay for everything. We will possess everything. We will be like a tree planted by the river of water. We will not be denied our prayer request. Because for centuries and decades, we've been asking, avenge me of mine adversary. Avenge me of mine adversary. Make this injustice right. And it seems like he's been rolling forward to the future. But that unjust judge and that devil and his mother-in-law are about to get a rude awakening. Because when he wakes up tomorrow morning, you are not going to be the same person you used to be. Come on, Holy Ghost. Ah, Jesus. Amen. That lady sitting next to you that looks so timid, a wild spirit is about to hit this girl because she wants her own money, her own property, her own house. She wants a real man and a real family and a real vacation, not in some Super 8, 7-Eleven. My God, I feel like preaching to somebody here whose faith is about to go viral. Your faith is about to go to another level because you are entering the golden age. I'm telling you, it's going to hit you so hard this week. Something's going to change your inner being. You've been on the road to Emmaus with no hope, but suddenly the golden age is jumping in your car. The golden age is coming in your room. The golden age is coming on your family. The golden age is about to hit your church. The golden age is about to hit your business. Where the devil said no, God says yes. Where the devil said you can't go, God says go ahead. I'm putting you. Slap somebody a high five and say it's the golden age. It's the golden age. It's the golden age. I said it's the golden age. Baby, you have to have faith that God has chosen you for such a time as the... Yeah. Jesus said in Matthew 21, he says, you Pharisees, a bunch of hypocrites. You can discern the day by saying it's going to be hot tomorrow because the sun is such and such. Or it's going to rain because the weather is such and such. He says, but can't you discern the times? Well, let me give you a few hints. Never before in the history of the world has gold been at the price it's at. So God, are you trying? No, I'm not trying to tell you something. I am telling you something. That the human family is moving quickly into a golden age. The age the devil has feared from his very existence. Because a group of monogenic believers who have trusted God generation after generation, passed on to the next one, passed on to the next one. This is a generation that will not take no for an answer. We're not taking nonsense. We're not going to be bullied. We're not going to be pushed around. We are going to say to this mountain, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Do you know where I'm from? Do you know what I possess? Do you know what my faith can do? Do you know what's inside of me? Don't feel unworthy. Don't feel Jesus. That unjust judge had no regard for any person. He couldn't give a rip about any person. He had no respect, no honor, no regard for any person. But one morning when he woke up and he saw that girl, he had to bless her. And he had to say, backdate the receipt. Make sure she gets paid good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, run it over. Put super interest on there. Put compound interest so that any other enemy that rises up against this woman will have to think twice. Devil, before you lift your foot on me another time, you'd better think twice. Because you've never met an African like this. My God, I feel a Kunta Kinte spirit come on me now. God is no respecter of persons. He can bless anywhere. So I am a millionaire. I am rich. I am blessed. I am anointed. I am highly favored. If God can bless somebody in Dallas, Texas, you'd better believe I can be blessed, because I'm entering into a golden age. I'm in it, baby. It's too late. I'm in it. You should have killed me last year. I'm in it now. It's on me now. What I touch is coming. Devil, you better watch it. Slap someone a high five. Say, it's the golden age. Jesus threw it in the future. He threw it in your day. He threw it in your yard. Nebuchadnezzar saw it. It's an order, and I possess it by faith. The violent take it. I want it now. Devil, I want my money, and I want it now. Now, now. I'm not waiting for tomorrow. I'm not waiting for an injunction. I want it now. It's the golden age. Can I preach for 2 more minutes? I feel it pushing now. I feel something coming to someone who's been in the backside of a little city with no hope. The bank has turned you down. The municipality has turned you down. Your family's gone crazy. There's all kinds of havoc in your life. But when you get back to your city, the faith in this conference is going to make room for you. You enter into a golden age. Come on, Holy Ghost. 2 case studies. 2 case studies. Then I'll preach to you. 2 case studies. The first one is Exodus chapter number 3. In Exodus chapter number 3, the scripture is very, very profound. And says, tell the people, I'm letting them go at midnight. After 430 years of slavery, it's time to go. And whether you believe it or not, it's time to go. Whether you understand it or not, it's time to go. Being in school or haven't been in school, it's time to go. At midnight, every person dress up, have a staff in your hand. You will eat a covenant meal. And at midnight, there will not be a feeble one among your tribes. So there's mass miracles. Amputations had legs growing. Arms were coming back. Blind eyes were secured. Old people that weren't able to make a journey suddenly got strength. They started walking like, my God, hair started growing back. Can I preach here? My God, it's a season of every feeble one being raised up. Egypt entered into a golden age. They entered into an age where the devil had to cough up that money that he'd stolen for so long. Devil, you better learn how to cough. If you don't know how to cough, devil, you better learn how to cough, because you're gonna cough up my blessing. Tell someone, make the devil cough. This is not a time to let up. This is a time to keep on giving. Give more. Pray harder. Fast longer. Worship stronger. This is the time for you to go all the way. Because at some midnight, every one of us, every animal, we're not leaving a hoof. We're not leaving a sheep, a goat. We're not leaving a snail. Every one of us, every one of us, no feeble person. He sends his word and heals us all. Pharaoh, we're coming out tonight. Your mother-in-law, your family, no one can hold us back. Tonight we're coming up. The Red Sea can't stop me. The wilderness can't hinder me. Famine can't hold me back, because all of Israel entered a golden age. We had street kids coming out with bling. Look like Mr. T. Yesterday eating dog food, today eating a la carte menus. Yesterday eating secondhand rate food, today on a menu filet mignon. My God, I feel like preaching to somebody here. The season for your crying is over. Weeping may endure for a night, but the night is over. Devil, the night is over. It's ended. Zwapera, the cancellation. Chapter number 3, 20 and 21, he says, every woman will be blessed. Not a handful, not a select few, not Ivy League class. Every woman is going to be blessed. For all your labor, for all your degradation, for all the thing that the devil puts you through at midnight. Every Egyptian has to start paying. Pointer sisters, we worked hard for the money. We're coming into a... Devil, you better start learning how to count. If you don't have a money machine, you'd better get one. It's a golden age. I'm not coming out empty. My grandmother never suffered for nothing. My grandfather never paid a price. This is the season we will reap in other men's labors. Shout, it's a golden age. Because of my time, I got to race to case number 2. Case number 2. 1 Kings 10, verse 27. 1 Kings 10, 27. This is the pinnacle of wealth. It's the pinnacle of blessing. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter number 10. Oh, Lord. The Bible says in verse 27. And King Solomon made gold and silver like stones. Like stones. It was everywhere. Ask the person next to you, do you have stones in your yard? And the answer is, duh. The answer is, duh. In the day of Solomon, if you ask somebody, do you have silver and gold? It's like, where have you been? This is a golden age. There's money everywhere. Silver and gold is like stones. We are expected to be wealthy and rich. The Bible says in Solomon's day, every man had his own tree. Every man had his own house. Every man had a well. It's said that in Solomon's day that people from neighboring countries who were in dearth, barrenness, lack, and neglect would make a day journey through the kingdom. They'd walk in the kingdom poor, walk into a golden era, touch a golden order, and come out rich. It's said that women that were barren that couldn't have children would walk through the kingdom of Solomon, through that golden order, and come out on the other side and get blessed. That's why Sheba came. The queen of Sheba had all this money, but she couldn't have kids. She was barren. Until she entered the golden age, she came into a time she didn't need money, she wanted a son so there could be somebody to continue the dynasty of that kingdom. Baby, in the golden age, famine is canceled, debts are removed. In the golden age, you cannot be a slave, your children not be locked to some system that will hold them back. I want to preach to somebody here and let you know that this is the season of the golden age. It's a golden era. There's money stored up for you. You have no idea how much it is. I got a circular a few days ago, a circular, that Swiss banks are now looking for outlets for money that they've held in custody for over 150 years, and there's no one to claim it. The interest is in the trillions of dollars, and so they're looking now for places to put that money, and the first place they're looking for are spiritual centers. The devil is a liar. Yeah, it's been waiting for 150 years for somebody just like you. My God, your faith is about to open a door that you never dreamed would be open. If you believe it, give the Lord a hand of praise. My God, in the name of Jesus, it's a golden era. There's stuff stacked away. 6 weeks ago in India... In India, international news reported it. In India, hidden in public view, they found in a Hindu temple a gold cachet of $4.3 million of carefully crafted gold jewelry that has astounded all kinds of jewelers in the world today. To think that jewelry made over 3,000 years could be made so meticulously well. And the astounding thing, Dr. Bailey, was this, is that that gold, $4.3 billion worth of gold and precious stone, was hidden in public view. You pass it every day. But the devil has blinded you, and God has hidden you. But that hiding and blinding season is over. God's about to open your eyes and show you that you've always had a hand of gold. God's about to open your eyes and reveal to you that you've always been the man who, yeah. Now I close with this. Let me show you what happens in the golden age. Let's preach together now, all right? Let's preach together. Let's put pressure on the heavens. Let's go to Isaiah chapter number 60 and show you what happens in a golden age. This doesn't happen in a silver age. It doesn't happen in a brass or an iron age or order. It only happens in a golden age. Isaiah 60 verse 10. Devil, you better get out of my way tonight. I'm all apostolic. You better watch it. Isaiah 60 verse 10. And the sons of strangers will build up your walls. In a golden age, strangers are going to build for you. People you don't even know are going to offer to build you a house, pay your debt, do your driveway, put a swimming pool in for your kids. They can see your sons. They're going to put a basketball deal in your house. Put in your house some sort of a home video, internal viewing thing with Bose surround sound. The devil is a liar. Amen. Your enemies are going to pay off your debts and your property. In fact, in Isaiah chapter number 60, verse 10, part B, and their kings will minister to you. My God, we've been ministered to all kinds of offscouring of the world, and we've had to suffer their ostracism. But in a golden age, kings are going to start ministering to you. So you'd better learn how to eat in... Baby, if you got a bad laugh and you guffaw, and you better change your laugh. You better start laughing like Queen Elizabeth, because kings are coming to your house. Kings are coming from the east. They bring you gold and silver and myrrh. They are following your sign right now. In a golden age, kings are looking for you. In a golden age, Isaiah chapter number 60, verse 11. Therefore, your gates shall be open continually. Never before has this ever happened. You've been sitting at a gate called beautiful all your life. The gate is beautiful. You've been admiring a beautiful gate but couldn't go through it. In a golden age, gates open for you. Tell someone the gates are opening for you. In a golden age, what couldn't open will open. It's a golden age for somebody here. You've tried, you've prayed, you've given, you've tithed, you believed, you confessed, but now it's a golden age. By mistake, you're just going to touch a button and you're going to feel like Indiana Jones. Touch something by mistake and doors open all around you. Tell someone continually, continually. You go this way, doors open, up, doors open, because it's a golden age. In a golden age, Isaiah chapter number 60, verse 11, he says, your doors will not shut day or night. Day or night. It doesn't matter what season it is. It doesn't matter what storm is coming. I don't care what name of a hurricane, what kind of hurricane they name, category 5. I don't care if it's big and bad. I don't care what's coming. In this season, doors open for you. It's going to rain revenue. It's raining blessing. You can't make a mistake. You can't go wrong. You can't backslide. You can't go back. It's always going forward. In a golden age, as a leper, you're dying of starvation. You refuse to sit here and die, because you're going to the enemy's camp. You know something's cooking over there. You can smell those ribs. You can smell those lamb chops. But you've been hungry, baby. You've entered a golden age. You're about to be dressed, clothed, fed. My God, I feel like preaching to somebody who is so discouraged. Your faith is opening doors that could never be opened. Shout, it's a golden age. In Isaiah chapter number 60 and verse 12, for the nation that will not serve you will perish. In this golden age, your enemies will be revealed. And if they don't serve you, they'll be cursed in the roots. The person that's jealous of you and has changed your wages 10 times are about to be exposed. God's about to make them barren. Devil, don't mess with me here tonight. It's a golden age. All your systems that have fought me, stood against me, built walls around me, those systems will perish. It's a golden age. Edom, if you don't serve me, you'll perish. Amalek, if you attack me, you will perish. I want the Ishmaelites to know, if you don't serve me, you will perish. It's a golden age. Isaiah 60 verse 16. I like this one. You will suck the milk of Gentiles. Baby, you better practice sucking. The Gentiles have grown their kingdoms by taking stuff that we should be on. It's time to suck what they've been sucking all these years. Taking all that stuff and enriching themselves. This is a sucking season. I feel like someone who's been deprived and somebody that's been kicked off your supply. Your supply is about to be restored. Your supply is about to kick in. Your supply is about to come to your life. I know I'm not just preaching to me. I know I'm preaching to somebody whose supply has been cut. The Bible says you will suck the milk of kings. It's time to suck the milk of kings. And finally, verse 22, in a golden age, a little one is a thousand. In a golden age, a little one, you'll be like Samson in the middle of a battle, a little one, and God will show you something that's been lying there for decades, the jawbone of an ass that can't be utilized. An anointing will come on you, you'll pick up a little one, and you'll slay 1,000 well-oiled, well-skilled soldiers. In this season, I'm telling you, in a golden age, you'll do stuff. A little one, one loaf will get an anointing of 1,000 times. It'll feed 1,000 men, 5 loaves, 5,000 men. A little one in the season, God's about to cause you to accelerate and multiply. The faith that's coming in your life, you are going to make demands on the system. Demands. Avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. Stand with me as we go to chapter number 6 of Daniel. Verse 26. Stand. Time to go. Daniel 6, 26. I make a decree. Darius, in the golden age. I make a decree that every dominion in my kingdom, men will tremble and fear the God of Daniel. I want you to take both your hands and put them on your head and say, I command a golden age. Say it again. Please say it one more time. In the nation of Burundi, and simultaneously Rwanda, where there were so many people being killed in genocide under President Clinton's time of office, over 800,000, almost a million Tutsis and Hutus were killed. There's a new president in the country of Burundi. He's a Christian president. He's a phenomenal man. He's phenomenal. He's setting the trend and setting the benchmark for what kingdom rulership should be. I was having a chat with a couple of friends. I was having coffee with Rodney Howard Brown in Harare last week. He had just come from Burundi. And then Kenneth Meshu, who is the leader of a South African political party, he had also just come back from Burundi. That's what he said. He said, every morning, the president of Burundi calls for prayer. And he prays with his whole cabinet. And before they pray, he leads praise and worship. And they said he doesn't lead praise and worship in a conventional way. Rodney said he saw the president of Burundi on the floor, rolling, kicking his heels, speaking in tongues, and believing God for great things for his nation. The devil is a liar. Every Saturday in the country of Burundi, it is mandatory, it is compulsory for every person to serve the nation that day. From the president, the cabinet, members of parliament, members in various municipalities, they have to serve the nation. The president has participated in 3,500 schools being built with his own hands. He puts on boots, he puts on overalls, mixes mortar, lays brick every Saturday. It's mandatory. And the nation is increasing and growing and prospering and going to the next level. It's a golden age. It's a new day on Africa. I guarantee you this, in the next 10 years, you will not see snotty-nosed kids, children suffering with kwashiorkor, swollen stomachs, ignorant, sick. That devil is a liar. Because the whole continent, led by people like myself, are entering a golden age, unashamed, blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Our faith, He's making room for us. In the last 7 months, throughout the continent of Africa, we've been able to travel as counselor, the chairman of the Council of African Apostles, and have seen things that boggle the mind. Unexplainable. Just boggle the mind. The range, the numbers, the revenue. Mountains. It's a new day. It's totally a new day. It's a new era. And God has promised that it will come to this country. It's coming to you. You've done nothing to earn it. The things you have done, yes. But it's like Obed-Edom. Something going down the road. The ark should go to Nachon's threshing floor. It makes sense because he's a covenant boy and he's got a threshing floor. But God says, no, this fellow on the left from Edom, Obed-Edom, I'm going to put him into a golden age. And his skinny girls are going to start putting on some weight. Those chickens are going to lay 3 eggs a day. Those goats and cows that haven't given milk in months are going to start popping up and showing up for the party. His wife's going to be all kinds of effervescent. My God, meals are coming regularly now. Stuff is happening because of a golden age. And David's going to hear about it. And David's going to say, what's in Obed-Edom's house? We can't let it be on one church, on one family, on one business. We've got to take that golden age and move it and put it on the whole nation. And in 2 Samuel chapter number 7, verse 1, after David moved that golden age from one church, one family, to the whole nation, the Bible says, and God gave David peace from all his enemies. And a season of prosperity began that is unprecedented in Israel. That will be so. It is your portion. We now cancel generational curses and we release generational blessing. Mantles that have not been harvested, you will harvest. Money that's been wasted, you will reap. Yes, revenues that have been squandered, we will now receive. The kingdom of God is now here. The golden age is upon us. Now, Lord, bless Dr. Winston. Bless his lovely wife, family, and kids. Bless the leadership of this church. Bless everything they do. We command this to be the greatest faith conference they've ever had. Let men speak out of their range, speak out of their range, beyond their range. We command super highways to come. We command doors to open. We command blessing to be released. We command people driving down the road to be touched, and we command angels to be released. Father, those on the internet, those watching on television, let them be touched in every country from New Zealand to Japan to Jakarta. We pray for blessing in the Middle East, that people will be touched. We pray conversions, breakthroughs, and blessings. We thank you for finances on a level that we've gone beyond our range. In the name of Jesus, we praise in the Lord for a golden age, everybody. For every pastor, please raise your hand. If you're a pastor, a pastor. You say, pastor, you're going to order spaghetti or something. Every pastor, if you're a pastor, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Father, we thank you that in this age, every leader here will minister beyond their range, outside of their rank, outside of their gift and their talent. The devil has given his kingdom to whomsoever he wills. Now it's your time to give to the kingdom of men, the kingdom of God, to whomsoever he wills. The Daniels and the Joseph that you're raising up right here in our voice range, we command that to manifest now. Every leader that's discouraged and in a midnight season, we command your blessing. For many of you that have counted other people's money, you will count your own. You have lived in other people's property, you will live in your own. We command it upon your life. Every woman that's an entrepreneur, raise your hand. Amen. Raise both your hands. Amen. Touch the ceiling. Amen. I command a golden touch on your hand. I command contracts to come and favor to be released. For those that have disrespected your business plan and put it under the pile, I command they'll be fired and your business plan come to the top of the pile. I command the favor of Esther on your life, from an orphan to an anointing of a golden age. For every woman, I command the golden age of Ruth on your life, from Moab to marrying the main man. I command it in your life. For every woman, I command a golden age upon your life. Every man in business, raise your hands. I command the curse of Mephibosheth to fall off your life. I command the spirit of Lodibar to shake off your life. I now command the king to decree a golden age in your life. Mephibosheth, you will no longer be in Lodibar. We command you to come out of Lodibar. You will dine at the king's table. You will dress like a king. You will have the finance of a king. You will be served like a king. You will smell like a king. The days of famine are over. The days of disgrace are over. The days of generational curse are over. Your paralysis is ended. Your crutch days are ended. I command for every business person the power to do millions, billions, and trillions. Everybody in the house, give the Lord a praise. Come on, somebody! Now let's put our hands together for Dr. Bill Winston!
Take your seats for just a minute, please. Don't leave till we get done. Praise God. Start walking and we